Welcome to the Duluth Vineyard Podcast. This message is recorded from one of our weekend services. As a church, we are a community from all different walks of life who are learning to love God and love one another. We're a place where everyone is welcome, true believers, along with the curious, the skeptical, the wounded, and even the disillusioned. We're a place of new hope and second chances. We're a church where God can be found. You can find out more about the Vineyard Church in Duluth on our website at duluthvineyard.org. Thanks for listening.
Well, I have started a series last week called The Three Marks of a Vineyard Church. And last week I spoke about the first mark being that we are a Kingdom of God people who will advance the rule and the reign of God in every way possible as a church and as a people. And this week I'm going to talk about the second mark of Vineyard Church, and it was kind of fun last week to announce that there are three marks and only tell you one of them. I had a lot of people trying to eke this out of me over the week, and you know, at least 50 people on the way out invited me to lunch this week so they could try to find out what the second, I don't know if they didn't want to come back or, you know, what the deal was, if they didn't want to come to church for the next few weeks. You know, I had people invite me over for dinner and then almost kick me out of their house because I wouldn't tell them. I finally figured out, you know, I kind of like the control. This feels really fun. And I kind of got into the game of it. And I told them, you know, if you can guess, I'll tell you. But believe it or not, I didn't have any guesses that actually came up as a score on this. So it's kind of exciting to unveil it to you today. And we are going to reveal the second mark of the vineyard, and you're going to have an aha moment and say, oh, I should have known. It's so obvious that we must be a people who experience the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Ah, there it is. I knew it. I knew it was coming. And, you know, this is something that is just part of the fabric of who we are. We are Kingdom of God people who want to experience the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, and that is one of the things, or two of the things, that set us apart as a church. And a great quote that I bumped into in a Richard Foster book called The Celebration of Discipline describes it in this way: in our day, heaven and earth are on tiptoe, waiting for the emerging of a spirit-led, spirit-intoxicated, spirit-empowered people. All of creation watches expectantly for the springing up of a disciplined, freely gathered, martyr people who know in this life the life and power of the Kingdom of God. Such a people will not emerge until there is among us a deeper, more profound experience of an Emmanuel of the Spirit, or God with us, a knowledge that in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus has come to guide his people himself, an experience of his leading that is as definite and immediate as the cloud by day and the fire by night. Well, a lot of people have experienced different kinds of moves of the Holy Spirit for generations and generations, and it has, in fact, done a couple of things. And God always comes with his presence and his power to accomplish this. He always is wanting us to move closer and deeper into a more authentic and genuine relationship with the Father. It's not just about all the things and all the steps to getting into those places in our life where the move of the Spirit is on us. It's about the end goal, which is intimacy with the Father. And it's experiencing something that goes way beyond just a relationship with God in our head, or a doctrine that we've learned over the years, or something religious. And that is, in fact, what God always intended when he left the Holy Spirit on earth. In Acts, we're given the promise of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, says this: but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In other words, when you receive the Holy Spirit, a power will come on you and people are going to take notice because you're going to look different. In fact, you're going to be my witnesses all across the world because people are going to look at you and see there's something different about your relationship with God. See, the New Testament speaks of this often. It talks about how Jesus built his church, and a lot of times it says that he added to the church daily. In Acts 2:1, it says this: all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking of New Testament Christians. So the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit was this defining mark of New Testament Christians. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. You couldn't be a Christian without being filled with the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Listen to this quote. It's from a book called A Tongue of Fire by William Arthur. Without the Holy Ghost, though it had all the ordinances and all the doctrines of the New Testament, would certainly not be Christianity. See, we believe that being open and receptive and experiencing on a regular basis the filling of the Holy Spirit is not an option. It's a non-optional part of our lives being transformed by being in relationship with Jesus Christ. We are people of the Spirit if we call ourselves Christians. The result, then, is going to be this incredible spiritual life that's going to have some depth and some meaning, and it's going to be authentic, and it's going to make us whole. See, people who have an experience of the Holy Spirit don't stay stuck in their junk. They get whole. They eventually start to look more and more and more like Jesus Christ. You know, I've been doing ministry for over 20 years now. And I got saved when I was 5, and I was raised in a pretty conservative church. And about 25 years of my life in Jesus was pretty absent of the Holy Spirit. We didn't believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the church I was raised in. And my relationship with God was, you know, pretty static and stationary. It wasn't alive. It wasn't moving. I had to be a good girl in order to, you know, not be judged by the Father. And that was my relationship with God. And then when I began to experience the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, changed everything. Because all of a sudden I realized that it was impossible to have a relationship with God that was meaningful, that was authentic and genuine, if the Holy Spirit wasn't involved. And that so much of my walk with the Lord was, in fact, that. It was boring, it was hard, it was difficult. And if I'm to have a relationship with God that isn't in any sense personal, where I'm communing with Him and He's talking to me and I'm talking to Him, then I have to be open to experiencing the Holy Spirit, because I'm actually crippled, and you're crippled spiritually without the Holy Spirit in your life. And so the revelation of what we're going to look at today is that it's not that hit and miss. It's not that some Christians are just lucky and, oh, they must have done something right along the way, or they've made no bad choices in their life, and therefore, they've, you know, it's golden for them, and somehow they just never feel that distant from God. Or maybe it's like fine wine, and, you know, the older you get, the better you get at this, and, you know, you just have to age before you can become a good Christian. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with experience in the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk about, how does He work in our lives, and what does He do for you, so that you can learn to recognize what God always had in mind for your relationship with Him and experiencing the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to go through several things here, and there's lots of scripture, so I'm not putting them all up on the screen, but you have some notes in your program. If you want to follow along, I'll tell you where it comes out of the Bible. You can jot that down, and you'll know where to go to find those verses in the future. Let me pray before we dive in. God, I want to thank You so much just for the gift of Your Holy Spirit. God, I thank You that we can welcome Your Holy Spirit to the center of this church. We can let the Holy Spirit come and have the church and have His way in the church, and that it makes a difference, that we can feel Your presence when we walk into this place, or that we can sit in our car, you know, by the side of the road and say, Holy Spirit, come, and He comes so quickly. I thank You that You are so accessible to us through the Holy Spirit. And I pray that You'd put power and authority on this talk. I pray that the revelation of the Word of God would change somebody's life today, that we could be honest with You and ourselves today about where we're at with this. We bless You, Lord. In Your name, amen. All right, first one is out of Romans 8:26, and it says this: the Holy Spirit helps us in our distress, for we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how we should pray, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us, believers, in harmony with God's own will. So when we don't know how to pray, when we're at those points in our life, when we feel pain and we don't even have words for it, or when our hearts are broken and there's not even words to describe the pain, or when we're thinking about walking away from God, or we're out of wisdom, we're out of words. I can remember a time in my life about 4 years ago when an event happened in one of my relationships with a dear friend of mine, and it devastated me to the point where I was wailing on the floor of my living room one day in broad daylight, and you know, I was just couldn't even find words in my disappointment, my pain, and I'm trying to figure out, why does it even affect me so deeply, God? What has happened here? What's been breached? And you know, I just had questions, but I had no words to pray for myself. And I just cried out loudly on the floor there. And you know, it was in that time when I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit just kind of come and hover over me. And it was in fact like, you know, I'm drowning in emotion. I'm thinking to myself, I am not going to be able to make it through this. This is going to crush me. And, you know, and there's a lot in conjunction with that. It's going to take me out of ministry. I'm not going to be able to pastor people because I'm going to be a wreck. And, you know, all these fears, I'm drowning in this stuff. And the presence of God comes in my wailing. And it's like the Holy Spirit just threw me this lifeline. And this buoy just came, and I could just wrap my arms around it, and it was connected to God, and he stood in the gap for me, and I knew that I knew that I knew that I'm going to be okay. I'm going to make it, because the Holy Spirit is praying for me when I don't even know how to pray. He's the one who finds the words to bring before the Father to usher in the presence of God. He's also the one who helps us when we feel condemned. And this is out of Romans 8:1, and it says in Romans 8:1, so now there is no condemnation, and I would underline those words in my Bible, for those who belong to Christ Jesus, for the power of the life-giving Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has freed you through Christ Jesus from the power of sin that leads to death. You know, I don't know what you've been through. I don't know where you've walked or what you've done. But I know that condemnation is a common demonic strategy. And there is no place for it in Jesus Christ. Do you know that if Satan can get you to stay under the negative effects of self-condemnation, you will be paralyzed in God's kingdom? And I've seen men and women who have past promiscuous lifestyles, or they've had an abortion 15 years ago, or an affair, or they're walking out of a homosexual lifestyle into wholeness and healing. And somehow, because of the self-condemnation and the spirits of shame and guilt that are attached to that junk, the enemy has gotten in there and he keeps them in bondage to the past sins that happened years ago. And, you know, it's simply condemnation that we kind of live under. And we get up in the morning and we hear those lies. You know, you have really messed up big here. It is never going to be the same. You are never going to be able to have that relationship with God that you are desperate for. You know, you're divorced now. You might as well just wear a great big red scarlet letter. Because this is it. It's going to take you out. You ever hear those things over your life? Over some of the things that you've done? Satan can take you out for years with this junk. And it is not from the Father heart of God for you. Died and paid the price for that. And he is not going to get up on that cross and die again for you. He already did that. And he just wants you to believe it and to receive it. And get out from under the negative effects of feeling like a slave and in bondage to it. And if the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, would come and just break the power of that off of you, you could be totally free from it once and for all. And I've seen that happen. It's incredible to see people walk out of a place of shame and guilt and into an incredibly freeing walk with the Lord, because they're just not going to believe the lies of Satan anymore. He helps us when we feel condemned. He empowers us to see God as Abba. And I'm not talking about the cute little guys in tights with some hits from the 80s. I would have put a picture up and played some music, but Michael said he already did that. So I was really bummed, because it fits better with my message, I'm sure, than his when he did that. But Romans 8:15 says this. It says, you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Father, dear Father. For his Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are God's children. See, it's the Holy Spirit that tells you that. So, you know, he's the one who shows you that you're adopted, and he helps you get onto God's lap, and he ushers you there, and he enables you to feel Dad and his love for you and his arms around you and his embrace. It's the Holy Spirit that makes the Father in heaven be like your Papa. And you need to ask him to bring that into your life, and, you know, just not just the knowledge of it, but the experience of it, the heart of the Father for his children. I know a lot of Christians who walk around never believing they're a son or a daughter, never experiencing that spirit of adoption through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you're really having a hard time seeing God as the Father that he is, if you've never heard anyone say he cares more about being a judge, he is not shaking his finger in your face waiting for you to be a good boy or a good girl. In fact, he is longing to be your friend. You know, I never heard that he wanted to be my friend till I was an adult. And it's so true. That's what he cares about. And he wants the Holy Spirit to show up and to show you all the benefits of being in the family of God. It's not a bad family. It's a good family, and he's a good father. He gives us power when we're weak. And I read this in Acts 1:8. But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you'll receive power. And then in Luke 24:49, it says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with the power from heaven. See, he gives us boldness, and he helps us to accomplish what we need to do when we feel weak. And I have experienced this multiple times. I struggle with some physical weakness and chronic pain, and I spiritually can feel weak at times, and ministry is hard, you know, from week to week. And, you know, there are times when I have just thought, you know what, God, I can't be a good pastor today. I don't really have that much to give. I can remember a day when I, you know, was going through a really difficult time emotionally and feeling distraught and, you know, struggling to just feel God in my own life on a day-to-day basis, and, you know, showing up at church and thinking, these people actually want me to give them something. I don't have anything to give. And I can remember one day, you know, I think I was hiding in the bathroom in one of the stalls, and I'm praying to God and saying, oh, God, you know, this is going to be hard. I got to go through, you know, and you got to go through 5 services at Duluth Vineyard. So if you're hiding in the stall, you're in there a long time. I mean, you can run out of toilet paper, and then you get more depressed, and, you know. So God comes, and you know, I'm telling him, oh, Jesus, God, help me. I'm just weak. And he's like, you know what, Brenda? I love it when you're weak. Because when you're weak, I'm strong. I'm like, I know, but I mean, I'm really, really weak, you know. And he goes, oh, I love it when you're weak. In fact, I want you to go tell Michael that you'll lead ministry time today. And I'm thinking, oh, God, you're killing me here, you know. And so I'm thinking, the fear of God comes on me, and I feel like I better do it, or I'm going to get sucked down the toilet or something. And so I go to Michael, and I'm thinking, well, surely he knows I'm having a bad pastor day, and I am going to need him to bail me out here. And so I'm whining and telling him, you know, what God's plan is and how stupid it is. And he, in fact, you know, I'm thinking he'll pat me on the back and say, that's all right, honey, I'll do it. He goes, really? Great. Sounds good. And he walks off. I don't even know what I'm going to say. I don't even know what he's preaching about, because I'm in the bathroom. So I don't even know how we're going to lead ministry time. I think he's, I look at the bulletin really quick. Oh, he's talking about addictions. Okay. Oh, great. I got those going on too. And so I come up here. I'm fumbling around. I don't know what I'm going to say. I know it's going to be lousy. You know, I'm kind of mad at God because he's not acknowledging that I don't want to do this. And I just fumbled through it. And I go, you know, I'm feeling pretty lousy today. But somehow, I feel like God is telling me that if I came up here and stood before you and acknowledged my own weakness and said, I have some addictions, and you do too. And I believe if you'll get up and come and stand with me today, that the Holy Spirit will come and begin to break some of those things off of us. And do you know that 75 people stood up and came up for that exact invitation to stand with me in my brokenness and ask the Spirit of God to come? And it was 75 people five times. And the power of God came and set people free in incredible ways. See, because it's not about me. It never has been about me. It's about Jesus coming and us getting out of the way. And so I've learned that it's actually fun to press into these weaknesses at times and just see what God will do if you show up anyway, even if you don't feel like it. And watch him come in power and authority. All right. He also refreshes us when we feel spiritually dry. So much Christianity is walked out in dry places. And I know it's not God's heart. John 7:37 says this, and this is Christ's promise. If you are thirsty, opposite of dry, you know, definition of dry there, come to me. If you believe in me, come and drink. Come and receive. For the scriptures declare that rivers of living water will flow out from within. So verse 39 says, when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who would be given to everyone who believes in him. So when we're sitting there in these dry, dusty places that we haven't felt God or we haven't felt his presence for months or weeks or years, and we're talking to people, you know, and we're counseling them, and they're feeling vulnerable or anxious or afraid or overwhelmed with life circumstances, it's simply because we're missing or we're lacking a direct connection or deposit of the presence of God. We're lacking that touch of the Holy Spirit. And we were never meant to go try to eke it out without that. See, if you take the Holy Spirit out of your relationship with God, it gets very, very dry. And so there's not something wrong with you. It's not that you didn't fast enough. It's not that you need to read your Bible more. I mean, maybe you do, and if God tells you to do that, by God, you better do it. But, you know, it's not an external thing. It's not sin management. It's not behavior modification. It's just coming and getting a shower, getting a drink of the living water, because you're not meant to live without it. And so I love to teach people to, you know, just how about you take this week, and you just come before the Lord. Can you give him 20 minutes, 7 days in a row? Read a psalm, or don't read a psalm. And sit there and say, Holy Spirit, will you come? I'm acknowledging my need for you right now. Take a deep breath. Stop thinking about what you have to do. And see what you feel. Do you feel peace come over you? Do you feel a calmness? Do you feel warm all over? Do you start to feel like, man, I feel so loved. I feel accepted right now, this moment. I feel like it's going to be okay. That's the Holy Spirit. And learn to recognize, what does it feel like to have him come close to me? What does it feel like to welcome him into my space? How does it change me? Can I get up and walk differently because I felt some peace that passeth all understanding? See, he refreshes us when our spirit is dry. And somehow we got to get dependent on those drinks of living water. We got to go back and back and back for more all the time because you're just not meant to live without it. He's our defender against Satan. Isaiah 59:15 says this. This is a great refrigerator verse, okay? Anyone who tries to live a godly life is soon attacked. Is that, you just want to put that on your mirror? So encouraging. And in verse 21, he says, my spirit will not leave you. When the enemy comes into your life and he's trying to knock you off your feet, when he's trying to hurt you or stop you, he's always trying to abort. He's always trying to come between you and God. He's always trying to undo what God's doing. He's always trying to get you to forget about the last thing that God did by consuming you with some kind of circumstance or attacking you. It's that time when the Spirit of the Lord comes rushing in. He rescues you. He lifts up this standard, and he says, Satan, you are not hurting my child. Get off of their life and leave them alone. And if you're trying to live without that protection, I would be afraid. But it's Satan comes rushing in. He wants to knock you off your feet. The Spirit is your defender. And it says here in this passage that the Spirit of God comes in like a flood tide driven by the breath of the Lord. That's really powerful. And his fury will fall on his foes. See, you need that kind of defender. Because some of you are just getting beat to a pulp. Because you don't have enough of the Holy Spirit to come in and defend you. You're trying to do it without it. When we need discernment, the Spirit guides us into all truth. And this is found in John 16:13. And we should be praying for discernment. We should be asking God to give us discernment because we don't really know what the truth is without the Spirit revealing it to us. You know, we pray and we need to pray. God, what's wrong with me? What am I doing that's hurting me? Help me to see the areas in my life that are blind spots. And you know, show me what's true. Show me what's up. Show me what's down. And I believe you're not going to be deceived if you keep your nose in the Word of God and you have the Holy Spirit to help you recognize, you know, what is coming your way. Where is it coming from? Is it right from the Father heart of God or is it straight from the pit of hell? And it's only the Holy Spirit that can give you that kind of discernment so that when you hear things from the enemy, you're alerted, red flag, wait a minute, bleep, 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 that's not me, that's not God, that's the devil. And if you embrace it and walk in it like it's the truth, then it's going to take you down a path that you don't want to go. So that's discernment. And it's the Spirit of God that gives us that and guides us into all truth. He will help us deliver people who are demon-oppressed. Matthew 12:28 says, but if I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. And this is Jesus. He's explaining to the Pharisees who cannot figure out how in the world he can do what he can do and how he has authority and power over demons. And they are asking him, how is he doing this? How do you cast these demons out? Where does this power come from? And so, you know, there's two things you need if you're going to push back the enemy in your life. And I would recommend you start there. And then you can start to help push back the enemy in other people's lives. But if you don't have enough spiritual warfare going on to actually be able to identify where to push the enemy back in your own life, then you're pretty much toast. It's not a lot of people are going to fight for you. You need to learn to fight for yourself and your family and the people you love and then start to fight for other people. And God equipped you with the power of the Holy Spirit to walk into those places and not be afraid and to push back the enemy. And if you're trying to do it without the Holy Spirit, I would be afraid. Because the devil's going to look at you and say, Peter I knew and Paul I knew, but who the heck are you? You know, because you haven't been with the Father in months. And there is no power and there is no presence in your life. But you can, and I pray you will, and I pray for this church that we will learn to be effective in spiritual warfare and that we will learn how to do deliverance daily. Like, you know, break the power of lies off of your friends when they're believing something that is from the pit of hell. And say, no, that's not God's heart for you. Let's pray right now. Let's ask God to come and break off the negative effects of that lie over your life. That's doing spiritual warfare. And Jesus did it every single day. You cannot find a day in the life of Christ where he did not cast out demons. And the reason is because when we push back the enemy and put those tent pegs in the ground and say, this is God's territory, and then we say, let your kingdom come and let your will be done, then God gets to rule and reign over those places where the enemy used to be. And so I love to talk about this stuff, and Power Healing 2 is coming up. We'll go into great detail on what does it take to actually overcome demons and do some healing in the area of demonic influence. And we'll dive into that in depth. The Holy Spirit empowers us to hear God's voice. And the whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, speaks of prophetic insight and how it comes to us by the Holy Spirit. And I would say that so many people struggle with this area of hearing God's voice. It's fascinating. It's amazing. It's sad that so many of the people that we reach out to and that we want to see begin a relationship with God. And I would say people that have come from church their whole life are astonished at the idea that God wants to speak to us and that he does speak to us today. And that he writes his thoughts on our hearts and our minds. And we can pray. We can ask them to experience and receive more of the Holy Spirit. And then I've consistently seen people experience something supernatural under the power of the Holy Spirit and immediately start to hear God talk. See, it's not a mystery. And you don't have to be a Christian forever and ever, amen, before you can hear God's voice. It's just you need the Holy Spirit to open up your spiritual ears. So you just can't hear God without it. In trials, the Spirit helps us to have joy despite our circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 1:6 says, "So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering that it brought you. And in this way, you imitated both us and the Lord." He helps us to trust God's goodness. That even when things are so bad and, you know, we feel like we're alone or dry spiritually and we have this overwhelming pain in our life and it's killing us. It's that Spirit of God who helps you to look up and see Jesus. And even through incredible pain and suffering, you can hold on. Have you ever seen people that just doesn't matter what comes, they just hold on. And you're like, what are they holding on to? It's the Holy Spirit. Because I've looked at people's lives and I said, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I would do the right thing. I don't know if I would make it the way I'm watching you make it. And it's because they have the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in their life, and he helps them no matter what kind of crap is going on in their life or their daily circumstances, believe in the goodness of God. And that's what that joy word means. It doesn't mean you're happy. Happy is something different. That's based on your circumstances. But joy comes from knowing that my God is a good God. And in fact, I am not changing my view of him or my mind about what the Bible says about him or who I know him or believe him to be based on what I see going on around me. I don't care how much bad things happen to good people. I am not changing my mind about God. You cannot have that view if you don't have the Holy Spirit. It's interesting. The Spirit of God helps give us boldness to release the kingdom of God. And here's the deal. Acts 4, the whole chapter talks about this. You know, receiving the Holy Spirit does something strange to you because eventually you can't keep it to yourself anymore. You get healed and you want to see people get healed. You get set free of anxiety and you want to see people get set free of anxiety and depression. You get saved and you want to see people get saved. You're like this big funnel and the Holy Spirit comes through you. And then he flows through, he does all this stuff, he transforms your life, and then it just starts to extend to other people outside the walls of the church. And he makes you be the, he is the reason why you could start even taking risks and begin to pray for people outside the church. Here's some things that we've learned about the Holy Spirit. There are a few practices that hinder the work of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to go through these rather fast. Legalism and religion, they're just like serious diseases that destroy any work of the Holy Spirit. God did not give the Holy Spirit to perfect people. That's legalism. He gave the Holy Spirit to broken people who would acknowledge their need. Separatists who make judgments about God's people or those people who are trying to come to Christ. You know, any kind of a teaching that says, okay, you know, you do all the right things and you're in, and if you don't, you're out, and if you're in, then you better not talk to the people who are out. Because then you're going to be unclean. And that's what the Pharisees did to Jesus. You can't eat with sinners. What are you thinking? You know? And I've seen this. I've seen it in Duluth. I've seen it in churches here. I've experienced it. I was volunteering at one of my kids' grade school years ago, having a wonderful chat up with a mom about whatever you talk about when you have grade school kids. And church came up, and I said I went to the Vineyard. And all of a sudden, a hush fell over the room. Oh. I think I need to go. Really, what's up? Well, I'm not supposed to talk with you. You know, the church didn't believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit and taught that the Vineyard was a cult for doing that. And in fact, none of us are saved. There's about 1,000 of us that come here on a weekend that aren't saved. And I've had people that go to church here say that my friend stopped being my friend because I go to the Vineyard and believe in the Holy Spirit. See, that's just separatism that judges people who, and most of those people say, we're the only ones that are right. This is the only right church of Jesus Christ. And when you hear that, big red flag, okay? And you'll never hear us say that here. We bless the whole church. And in fact, I bless that church and I pray for that church regularly that God will bless. Hyper-spirituality rather than being naturally supernatural. This is just people who say, check your mind at the door. You know, it's anti-intellect. It's like a Gnostic kind of dualistic teaching that somehow rejects that the human mind is a gift from God and that if you're talking about spirit stuff, it all has to be emotional. And it disconnects your mind and your spirit. Your mind can't be empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's a bunch of baloney. And it messes up the move of the Holy Spirit. Becoming enamored by gifts. I talked about this last week some when I talked about the kingdom of God. But just chasing after manifestations or gifts. I am not saying that you will not have manifestations. If the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will. I have shaken. I have cried. I have fallen down. But when I get up from the floor, I love the Father more. And I want to go feed the poor. And I want to cast out demons. And, you know, if the end means is just having that so you feel happy or, you know, people have spent hundreds of dollars, traveled thousands of miles to try to find the meeting where their feelings are going to turn into gold. And I've sat with them around the pool at hotels and I've asked them, what does that do for your relationship with God? And they say, well, I don't know, but it's cool. It's mystical. I don't want cool. I'm not after cool. I'm after falling deeply and passionately in love with Jesus Christ so that I can go transform the world and the community that he lives in, that he has placed me in, that I lived in. I am talking so fast that I am getting my words ahead of my thoughts. Pride or pretense. Just acting like you don't have any problems and you don't need the presence of God will definitely have the Holy Spirit take a hike. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of wholeness. This is what I love about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is constantly working to make us more human, more whole, more like Jesus. He doesn't mess us up. He makes us become whole people. And knowing that I can walk in the Spirit and experience his presence in every area of my life, not just at church. I can be filled with the Holy Spirit while watching a sunset, or that walking in the Spirit is not just about religion or religious stuff, but that it's about God being in all these little details of my life and helping me find a parking place and, you know, just all the tiny little things that I'm doing in and out of a day and letting God into these small things in my life. And letting God reveal himself and speak to me and empowering me to live like Jesus. And the primary evidence of the Spirit's presence is love and service. And if you never see that happen, then maybe you just don't have enough of the Holy Spirit. If you don't love people more, if you don't love what God loves and hate what God hates, if it never makes you want to serve like Jesus, then you might have more religion than Holy Spirit in your life, because it should change you. I mean, here's some of the things that we're doing. We're seeing people come to Christ. We're seeing sick people healed. We're going to the poor and the disempowered and the disenfranchised and the oppressed. We're planting new churches. We're caring about God's green earth, and we're casting out demons. And as our national director, Bert Wagner, said to us as pastors months ago, well, that's probably a lot better than just experiencing a manifestation of shaking with no result. You see the difference? It should change us into people who love and serve like Jesus did. The primary place that he releases the Spirit of God is on the street. And I'm rereading a fascinating book by Carol Wimber about the life of John Wimber. Carol and John were the founders of the Vineyard Movement 25 years ago. And Carol has written a book. John died in 1997. Carol's written a book called The Way It Was. And her tribute to John at his memorial service is in the back of the book. And Carol says this, and I just was rereading it this week. She said, John tore down the hype, the theatrics, and the pretentiousness of so much of what purports to be the Church of Jesus Christ. He simply would not have anything to do with all that. He took the messages of Jesus right off the stage and out of the four walls, and he made us take it to the streets. John would say, the meat is in the street. Go out and do it. That's where Jesus is. He had no greater delight than to come upon people in a shopping mall or a grocery store or in an office praying for someone. He loved it when a person was healed out in a parking lot or had the gospel preached to them in a doctor's waiting room. He loved it when a demon was cast out in a restaurant. He didn't mind the big scene and the mess. He loved it. He just said he would just get that big old smile on his face. He loved it when the church broke through the walls. And you know what? That is our inheritance. We are people marked by the activity of the Holy Spirit. And I wouldn't change that for nothing. And when you see church activity that's in the name of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, and it's outlandishly goofy or disappointing or embarrassing, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't throw the Holy Spirit out or give up on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Instead, I'd say let's let it drive us to have an even deeper appreciation of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, let's let it move us to an authentic move of the Holy Spirit in God and create a deeper experience that's real and authentic and meaningful so that we can be a people who reflect the very nature of God. And if they don't want to, all right already. Whatever. But we don't have to do that. So many times I've complained to God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be prophetic. I don't want that label. I don't want to look goofy. And he's like, just go do it right. You don't have to go do it wrong. Go do it right. It's an invitation. And Paul admonished us, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a one-time thing. It was over and over and over. Why don't you guys stand up with me, if you will? I'm going to pray, and I would invite you, if you would, just to have a posture of just engaging with God, His Spirit, and just picture yourself, you and Him. You're not in a room full of people. That's just an illusion. Just you and God. And I'm going to ask you to be honest this morning. Be honest with yourself and with God about what part the Holy Spirit plays in your life. I'm going to pray right now, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. And I think some of you are going to feel the presence of God, and it might be for the very first time. And I would just ask you to welcome it. You don't have to be afraid. Just welcome it. Because you don't want to live without the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, or it's going to mess up your life. So Spirit of God, we just invite you right now. I welcome you to the center of each life here. I welcome you to the center of this church. We welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Holy Spirit. Because you are the experienced reality of God. Spirit of God is just coming on many of you. And some of you are feeling some warmth, just some peace, perhaps acceptance or love. That's just Jesus. He just loves to come. More, Lord. We're going to sing a song here, and I'm just going to ask you, if you feel the presence, just stay engaged with the Lord. If you feel the presence of God, or maybe you don't, and you don't want to leave here without it, we can pray for you this morning and bless this and bless what God wants to do. Don't give up on the Holy Spirit. We have to practice learning to receive him. We're not good at it. Keep at it until you feel the change in your life and in your relationship with God. When it becomes more real and meaningful, and you know you're there. So if the ministry team would come, I'm going to ask them to come now. And if you're trained to pray, I invite you to come. And would you step out and come and just let God touch you this morning? You just might want more of the Spirit. That's a good thing. Maybe God put his finger on something as I was talking. You thought, aha, that's why I have a hard time praying or coming into the presence of God, or I feel dry. That's why I feel condemned all the time. And you are done with that game. I want you to come because we can pray for you, and it can end this morning. And you can begin to experience something that's tangible and real, if you would.